If you want to make enhance your own spiritual life, devotional life, take the bulletins home with you. Go back to these texts that are referenced and read them tonight, read them tomorrow, read them Tuesday when you get a chance. And see if you hear them with new ears and reflect upon those and pray upon those. The title of this morning's sermon is The Naked Truth. And it comes from that first lesson that Kay just read for us. Adam and Eve were naked, and they did not realize it. Now, no one knows for sure the exact location of the Garden of Eden, but I'm guessing it was not Minnesota. Naked people right there in the Bible, naked people in church. You know, when I was a teenager, there was this craze across the country called streaking. How many of you remember that? How many remember that? Yeah. Okay. How many of you ever? No, I don't want to know. I really don't want to know. We did have a streaker in church once, came right down the center aisle before we caught him by the organ. They booed at the middle service. The sermon title this morning is The Naked Truth. Let's join together in prayer as we ask God to be with us. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts and open our minds to your word that we might be set free to love. Amen. Wednesday. On Wednesday, many of us gathered here in this sanctuary for an ancient ritual of truth-telling. The rails were in that night, and at the rails, we dropped to our knees, and in that humbling posture, we sang, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, to casual observers, it may have appeared that this was a celebration of Holy Communion, but it was not. It was quite different from that. In Holy Communion, we approach the altar, as we will this morning, with our hands uplifted. Our posture is that of a beggar. We seek the one who promised to meet us in the bread and the wine. With trembling hands, we reach out for grace. On Ash Wednesday, our hands remain folded. This time, as we kneel at the rail, we are not receiving the forgiveness of sins. No, this time we are receiving ominous words of truth. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are among the first words spoken by God to humans in the Bible. Those words were spoken to our first parents, Adam and Eve. It was and is a graphic reminder of their identity and our identity. Words from an immortal God reminding the mortals of their mortality. This morning we have two of the more significant stories in Scripture, and I'd like to hold them up side by side that we might discover the naked truth. Our first parents, they had it made. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. It was peaceful. It was tranquil. There was not a lot to worry about. They did not have to concern themselves with politics. That would be nice, huh? They didn't have to concern themselves with gas prices or retirement plans or taxes or ferry lines. The neighbors did not bother them. Of course, there were no neighbors. They were not tempted to break their marriage vows. Of course, there was no one to break their marriage vows with. They lived in the garden. They lived intimately with each other. And they lived intimately with God. They were gardeners in God's garden. They did not have to worry about clothes, for they had none. They were like the rest of creation in that respect, like the birds and the bees and the fish and the lions. They simply wore their birthday suit, the suit that God had given them, every day. No shopping for designer labels, no standing in the closet saying, I don't have a thing to wear. No dry cleaners, no washing machines, no biz bag. And food? Well, food was not a worry either. You see, God said, I've taken care of it. You may eat freely of every tree in the garden except for one. That tree will poison you. There is one tree that has the potential to make your simple life very complicated. There is one tree that has forbidden fruit, and if you eat of that tree, you'll be sorry. That's when the devil appeared. The devil appears in the Garden of Eden. The devil was disguised as a snake, but you must remember, at this point in creation, the snake did not have a bad reputation. No one had ever died of a snake bite. The snake began by creating doubt in the mind of Eve. The devil said, come on. Did God really say that? Did God really say that you should not eat from this tree? And Eve replied, well, we may eat of every tree in the garden, except the tree with the forbidden fruit. It's poisonous. It's going to cause us harm. We could die. And the devil said, really? God said that? It will not cause you harm. In fact, that tree has the best fruit in all the garden, and God knows it. Eat the fruit. You will not die. No, rather, you will have knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be like God. You'll not have to settle for this human existence anymore. Eat of the fruit, and instead of being a gardener, you can hire a gardener yourself. Adam and Eve ate of the apple. It was a rebellious act, and they knew it, but it was only an apple. The snake had promised them that it would do no harm. And when they ate of the apple, suddenly their eyes were opened. They saw each other in a new light. They were ashamed. Now, they were ashamed of their behavior, and they were ashamed of their bodies. They realized for the first time that they were naked. Shame and blame entered their relationship, and they found themselves hiding from each other and hiding from God. Adam and Eve were forced to face the naked truth. They did not become like God. That was a lie. They were very mortal. They were dust, and to dust they shall return. They were creatures, not the Creator. And now they were the only creatures in all of creation who were ashamed of their own bodies. The naked truth. They were naked. The fruit was poison. God had been trying to protect them. But in their rebellion, they had listened to another voice. The other voice raised doubt in their minds. Did God say that? Don't you realize what you're missing? You deserve better. The rules don't apply to you. Did God call you children? How condescending is that? If you think that God is watching out for you, well, think again. The nerve of God. Eat, drink, taste. Satisfy your every desire, you will not be harmed. Listen, Adam. Listen, Eve. I've got an offer for you. I'm going to give you a new identity. You can be like God. Do not settle to simply be a creature. But it was a lie. And it left our first parents to face the naked truth. They were insecure now. They were insecure, they were afraid, they could no longer trust themselves or each other. It was the end of innocence. Yes, they were dust, and to dust they would return. Our second story comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus is in the desert. He had been there for 40 days and 40 nights. The desert, now I don't want you to think Palm Springs. Don't think watered lawns and golf courses. No, think Death Valley. If ever there was a God-forsaken place on earth, this was it. Now, in the previous scene, Jesus' identity had been revealed to him. There in the waters of baptism, there at the Jordan, the heavens rumbled, you are the Son of God. He heard that, lots of people around, but now Jesus has left the Jordan. Now he is all alone. He's all alone in the wilderness trying to understand what this would all mean for him. For 40 days and 40 nights, he prayed. He fasted, eating nothing, and he considered the daunting trials that were before him. Jesus was tired, he was weak, and he was famished. That's when the devil comes to him. And just as the devil did with Adam and Eve, the devil begins his assault by raising doubts in Jesus' mind. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, and that's what God told you in the Jordan, is it not? Well, if you are the Son of God, then tell me, why are you out here starving to death in the desert? If you are the Son of God, you deserve better than this. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread, and they will, and you can eat. If you are the Son of God, then you need not live like these pathetic humans. Come on, Jesus. Turn the stones into bread and eat. But Jesus would not. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the highest point of the temple. And the devil questioned his identity again. He said, you know what? I'm not even sure that you are the Son of God. And I don't think that you really know for sure either. So Jesus, throw yourself down. Jump. If you are the Son of God, then angels will come. They will catch you. That should remove all doubt. And we will both know then for sure who you are. Jesus said, no, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And finally, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain. And using some supernatural PowerPoint presentation, he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world in all of their splendor, one after another. And the devil taunted Jesus, saying, if you are the Son of God, then all of these kingdoms, they should belong to you. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you a deal. You fall down and worship me, and I will give all of this to you. Now, of course, it was a lie. It was not the devil's to give. It was an empty promise from the master of deception. Jesus said, away with you, Satan. It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The text says the devil departed from Jesus, departed until an opportune time. An opportune time. When would that be? That opportune time would come 3 years later in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was about to be betrayed, as Jesus was about to be arrested, as he was about to be beaten, as the agony of the cross was right there in front of him, when Jesus was weak and tired, and might we assume in his humanity that he was afraid of the brutality that was to come? Yes, this was an opportune time. The devil appeared to Jesus in the garden saying, don't do it. Don't go through with it. Do not face the cross for these pathetic humans. They're betraying you at this very moment. If you are the Son of God, then save yourself. You deserve better, Jesus. You see, what we have here are two of the most significant stories in Scripture. Stories of identity, both of them. Stories of temptation, both of them. Stories that are played out day after day in the evening newscast. And in our families. In the garden, God told our parents that creation was good. But there are some things that we should avoid. Some things will break trust. Some things are poison. Some things will corrupt your heart and destroy your family. Creation is good, but God has given us the Ten Commandments to keep it good. Life is good, so don't commit adultery. And do not steal. And do not lie. And do not gossip. And do not kill. Your life will be better if you just trust me on this. So what are we to do? We have to make every attempt to not get famished. Unless your name is Jesus, don't get famished. Protect yourself. Be strong in the faith. Because if we are strong in our relationships with each other, if we put ourselves in the path of the gospel of Jesus as you have today, if you come and dine at this table and are fed with the bread and the wine, then your odds are better. You have a better chance of overcoming temptation. But when you're famished, when you're weak, when we are afraid, when we're alone, when we stay away and isolate ourselves from Christian community, then the tempter will move in and the tempter will say, come on, did God tell you that? Doesn't God understand that you deserve better than what you have? Come on. The rules, they don't apply to you. Everyone's doing it. It's not really cheating. In fact, you're cheating yourself if you don't go for it. This will not destroy your life. This is not dangerous. Come on. They're not paying you enough. Take the money. Your wife doesn't give you what you need. Try some forbidden fruit. It'll make you happy. You deserve to be happy. Oh, yeah. And if it turns out wrong, if things go badly for you, if you get caught, well, if things turn out wrong, don't call me. My cell phone is off. Don't call me. Hey, what do I look like? The Savior? I'm the devil, for crying out loud. The only power that the devil has in this world is deception. The only power that the devil has is deception. The devil speaks lies. The devil makes promises that he has no intention of keeping. The devil preys upon the weak and the isolated, the famished. And so we begin this journey again. The journey to the cross, the journey to Holy Week, to Easter. And as we do so, may we remember who we are and whose we are. We are children in the hands of a loving and forgiving God. Our God is always there, arms outstretched, ready to welcome us home. We are children who need direction. We need discipline. We are children with checkered past and deep, dark secrets. And you know, the devil revels in our checkered past and deep, dark secrets. But our gracious God calls us to leave the past behind and embrace new life. Our gracious God shines light on our deep, dark secrets as we're led out of the tomb of despair and shame to the new life of Easter. The naked truth, here it is. We need God, and we need each other. For we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Amen. I invite you to stand.